Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we have the Eye of the Tiger on our side in the Better Business Bureau of Minnesota and North Dakota, and we're thrilled to be in studio with us today. We have Bess Ellenson, and she is going to continue some conversations we are having about scams, about people that perhaps aren't looking out for our best interest, but you certainly are. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Great to see you. Yeah. So first of all, tell us what the Better Business Bureau is, because I think a lot of people think of it as a place where you call to be sure that the plumber you're going to use is rated correctly or something, right? So that's a division?
Yes, so people can do that. We also do reviews. So, you know, similar to other websites you see out there, you can tell if, you know, somebody really liked the service they got or if somebody didn't, because not everything qualifies as a complaint, which is what you just described. So basically, we're out there to help make sure that the marketplace is ethical and that consumers can trust businesses in our area.
So is there advertising, or you really are, what am I trying to say? You're nonpartisan, or what's the word?
Yeah, we're nonpartisan. Anytime somebody files a complaint with us or a review, we do look into it and we make sure that it is legitimate. You know, some of these other websites out there don't actually research what people have posted. So you can count on the fact that we've done our research and we've vetted the fact that this review or complaint is accurate.
So versus other places like, let's say, TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. where maybe they don't like something that happened at a restaurant or at a hotel, and you don't necessarily know, you're just reading it and it sounds horrific, but it's not been vetted. You vet all this stuff.
Yes, that's the big difference between us and all these other websites out there.
Okay. So tell us about how you then, you really do honor some companies that are extra ethical, I know.
Yeah, so each year we have the Torch Award for Ethics, and we honor four different businesses. Basically, the awards are based on business size, but we start with a nomination process where anyone can nominate any company that they think is going above and beyond and being ethical. And then we take all those nominations, reach out to those businesses, and they have the opportunity to try for the award or not try for the award. This year we had more than 500 nominations, and we had about 100 people actually try out for the award. So, you know, it's a huge process. We have a panel of outside judges that judge them, so they're not judged internally by people at BBB. And, you know, they are able to somehow whittle it down to four different people. Four different businesses.
And when you say it's based on the size of your company, how are the breakouts there, please?
Yeah, so there's 1 to 49, 50 to 99, 100 to 149, and then bigger.
Okay. So what would be a big company, 150?
150 plus. Yeah.
And what would that be? What company would that be? I'm just trying to get a feel.
There's a lot of companies out there. I would say Best Buy is one of the bigger companies.
Sure. Okay.
Target.
Sure. Okay.
General Mills. We've got actually a lot of huge companies in Minnesota, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, well, congrats. That's a really fun process, I bet, to honor companies that are really doing the right thing. And 99% of them are, right?
Right, they are. No, it's pretty cool how many ethical businesses we have in our state.
So you have a lot of complaints probably for people that one time something didn't go their way.
Right.
And how does that affect a rating?
Okay, so this is actually a pretty interesting process. So if somebody has one complaint against them and they have an F rating, that means they have not actually dealt with the customer or dealt with the complaint. Whereas you could be a company that's had a few complaints against you, but if you've done everything you can to please this customer and work with them, then your rating is still going to stay okay.
Who does the rating then? The BBB?
Yeah, it's based off a series of facts, so it's not just us saying, well, we think this company did a good job dealing with this. There are many factors that do come into play that we, you know, check off list of different factors and make sure that, you know, they've complied with all of them.
So that goes every year, or how often do you do that?
Anytime we get a complaint, we take it very seriously and look into it. And, you know, there are certain periods of time that businesses have to respond, consumers have to respond, just so we know they are taking it seriously. And sometimes we get businesses that absolutely do not respond to us. So if they are accredited, then we have to consider whether they should be revoked or suspended and keep their accreditation. And so there are a lot of factors behind the scenes that go into these ratings.
So we can go online to BBB.org.
Yep.
And check out what companies, how are the categories listed?
Yeah, so actually if you just go to BBB.org, you can type in a company's name, where they're located, and find out, you know, if their rating is good, what they've had for reviews, complaints, and really find out a lot about them.
What don't you rate? Doctors, do you rate doctors? Do you rate libraries?
Yeah, pretty much any business. It doesn't matter the type of business. It matters the type of complaint. Like, actually, we do not deal with government agencies.
Okay, no government agencies.
Yeah, and we do not deal with employee versus employer issues. So if I had an issue with my boss and I went to BBB, that's not something that's in our wheelhouse.
Okay. When we want the BBB to help us, I know that we usually typically think of businesses, but we really should be thinking about our own reputations as well, because a business reputation is one thing, but I don't think kids in particular realize how much their reputation is out online, right?
Right. No, exactly. So BBB focuses mainly on businesses and consumers, but we also have our foundation side, and our foundation really focuses on outreach and education. And right now, one of our big age groups that we're trying to get to are college students and high school students, just because they are such big targets of scams.
And is it because they're unsophisticated?
Yeah, they just haven't had the worldly experience that a lot of adults have had. And so, you know, whether they're going off to college and getting their first credit card, or looking for their first place to live, looking for their first job, they are huge targets right now.
So let's talk about that age group. What else are you doing to help them?
So one of the big things that we started doing is what we call the Scam Carnival.
Oh, it sounds fun.
It's fun. So basically, it's made up of 5 different games that are interactive games, I should say, that students can come do and learn about scams and not really realize they're learning about scams.
Oh.
Yeah, we've done a couple in colleges, and we're trying to actually hit the high school scene, too.
I think you should hit the high school scene.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this carnival look like?
Oh, there's a fishing game. There's a game that you can go up to and you flip over cards and it'll tell you about a different scam and how you should handle it. There's lots of fun things. So you start out with basically what we're calling a passport. And as you go through these different stations, you stamp the passport. And once you've fulfilled your passport, we have you turn it in and that's it.
Are kids shocked at how unsavvy they are?
Yeah, I think that's been one of the biggest takeaways so far, is just, you know, there are all these different scams out there that they just have not heard about.
Well, there's new scams every day, so how could they, right?
Exactly.
So let's talk about managing online stuff with kids. How can we go about doing that?
So that's one of the biggest issues, too, that we see with students is social media. Social media is a wonderful place, and it's also a very dangerous place for anyone, especially students, just because a lot of them don't really think about what they are posting online.
So is it true that 33% of college admissions officers admit to viewing applicants' social media profiles, students and their parents, before you are admitted to a college? How do we do this? How do we can't keep kids off social media?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. But there are some things that you can do to try to protect your children and protect yourself. I mean, the biggest thing that I always recommend is just having regular conversations about social media and letting your children know how dangerous it can be and how, you know, if they post something, delete it, it's not gone. You know, anyone has access to it and it could be out there forever. So just having those conversations to make sure that your child knows how dangerous what they're posting can be.
Even if it's just silly, simple stuff.
Exactly, because that silly, simple stuff, if you're at a party or whatever, you're trying to get a job 2 years later, it could pop up. You just don't know. We hear a lot about kids going to parties in college. That's probably one of the biggest ones where they're out having fun. You know, they decide a few years later, they're done with college, they're trying to get into their career, and these pictures pop up, even if they've deleted them off their social media accounts. And, you know, a lot of employers are looking at that now, and it could be the difference between you getting a job and not getting a job, unfortunately.
And when you said that you delete them, but they still pop up, where are they?
They are out in the web world somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I've even found that out with myself, where there are pictures I know that I've taken off social media, or, you know, several years ago, MySpace was a big
remember
thing.
Remember that? Yes.
Yeah, long,
right,
many, many eons ago. But there are pictures that I posted on MySpace that I know exist nowhere on any of my other social media platforms that if I was to search my name, they will still pop up.
What the heck? How do you get around that?
Well, there's really no way to get around it aside from just not doing it in the first place.
There's some statistics here that I think are kind of frightening, and that is 70% of employers regularly use social media to screen job candidates. That's really high.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, like with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can't really tell who's looked at your profile. But what's interesting is LinkedIn, you can, unless they've made their profile so you can't see it. But I think it's interesting how many times I've even seen my employers pull up my LinkedIn account. So they're checking it. And LinkedIn's one of the safer ones, too. So it's pretty interesting that they're looking at that stuff.
Well, that is. So you should try to set your parameters so that you can see who's looking, but you can't do that on some of these other social media accounts?
Yeah, you can't tell who's looking at your accounts. So that's why it's so important to set your privacy settings to as private as they can be. Don't accept friend requests from people that you don't know also.
But I thought that means you're more popular the more friends you have.
Right? Isn't it
a numbers game? Shouldn't
really
I just
is.
Accept anyone that wants to be my friend?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very tempting. We all want to have the most friends, but it can also be very dangerous because there's a lot of real-looking profiles that are fake and you just don't know who's behind them.
So besides the safety thing, it's just the common sense thing. And so what more can we do as parents?
So one thing that we always recommend is make sure you have your own account wherever your child has.
I don't want my own accounts.
Well.
But you have to have them.
It's helps you monitor what they're up to. I mean, and the other thing, not only can you monitor what they're up to, but they're probably going to be a little more careful as to what they post. I know for myself, when I was in college, if my mom was my Facebook friend, I definitely would not have posted some of the pictures I posted. So it just, you know, helps regulate that a little bit more.
Okay.
I would say bottom line is don't post anything that you wouldn't want people seeing that shouldn't see it.
That's easy for us to say as an adult, but kids are so dumb.
They are. And that's why having the conversations and making them aware of what is dangerous to post and what's okay to post is so important.
And I don't think that we really think about a future employer looking at our social media accounts.
Right, especially if you're, you know, a 16-year-old, that's the last thing on your mind. You got a while to think about that. But, you know, just making sure that your children know that this stuff is going to come back to haunt you.
So let's get back to LinkedIn, because you do recommend that young adults use LinkedIn.
Yes, we recommend people use LinkedIn and use it smartly. It's more of a business-related profile platform, and so it is a really good place for you to be able to showcase the good qualities you have.
Shouldn't we be doing that on all of our social media?
Well, we should, but I think a lot of us get obsessed with, you know, trying to make it seem like we had the cooler vacation or had a cooler Saturday night than most people. And so LinkedIn's really the place where things are reined in and you can really promote the good things you're doing. And a lot of employers actually go right to LinkedIn before the other social media platforms.
So continue to have regular conversations about social media with your kids.
Yes, exactly.
And how do you know if kids are being scammed?
That is a great question. You know, if you're under 18, it's a little bit harder to figure out. What we see is, you know, kids on social media end up putting way too much information on social media. They'll put, you know, their full names, where they live, birthdays, phone numbers, email addresses. And, you know, if you've got different information on different platforms, you know, thieves are looking for that information and they can kind of consolidate everything and end up hurting you and giving you a bad rap.
It's also a safety thing too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a safety thing. You don't want to give out too much information because they have your pet's names, family member names, anything like that. It really can come back to haunt you and, you know, they could harm you. That's the one thing we see with the grandparent or parent scams out there is thieves are taking the information that you're posting. You know, if you're having a fun time at Mall of America and you post that online and you've got, you know, your parents' names or anything online, they're able to put the dots together. And you know, we had a case in Ham Lake that must have been earlier this year where a mother got a call from somebody claiming to have her daughter. And it turned out that we think that she posted something on social media. They were able to figure out who her mother was. Mother probably had her number posted online, and the scammer was able to call the mom and, you know, try to get her to pay a ransom.
Oh, it's just frightening.
Yeah, you just don't think that, you know, these little tidbits of information are going to go as far as they do.
Right. Well, there's a lot of tidbits out there when they all add up. Bess, great information. Thank you so much for bringing some of this to our attention. We are thrilled. And if we want to learn more, we can always go to bbb.org. Our guest today is Bess Ellenson, and we thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always great to see you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.